Bible this morning, let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, then if after you find that, go to the New Testament to John chapter 8, if you would. John chapter 8, Exodus 3, John chapter 8. While you're turning there, let me say a little more about trying to get a day to honor Mrs. Autry and Mrs. Brown was a challenge. We tried to set it up other times, and we wanted Mrs. Brown's children to be here if they could, and then we wanted Mrs. Autry's kiddos to be here too. And Amanda works, and the job she works, it's kind of unpredictable a little bit, and so we balanced it back and forth. We juggled it back and forth, and we tried to do it one time, and then we tried to do it another. And finally, basically, we just said, we've got to do it, so we're doing it today, and we're just going to trust God. And man, it worked out good. They were all able to be here, so I'm glad of that. I'm very, very glad of that. Exodus chapter 3, all right? If you're there in your Bible, look, if you will, we'll begin reading verse 10. Bible says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, we'll get to John chapter 8 in just a moment, all right? So hang on there. We read the scriptures here. Moses was in a bit of a quandary, if you will. Like a lot of Christians, he was looking for an excuse that he thought, if I can just find the excuse that will satisfy God as to why I can't do what you want me to do. And that's what he's trying to do. And he even gets to the point there, you know, he's gotten now to the point where he says, who am I that I, you know, should go? And that didn't work. He said, well, all right, let me ask you this. When they ask who sent me, what am I going to tell them? When they, you know, the Israelites want to know who sent me to take you out of the land of Egypt, then who is it that sent you to do that? And God's answer to Moses was a tremendous revelation to the world. When he said his name, when God was asked, what is your name? His answer was, I am. That is my name, I am. That's a name that transcends all of time and space. It is a name that is above every name. It is a name that nobody else can claim, all right? Just nobody else can claim it. You will occasionally find people, maybe more so Hispanic folks than others, but you will find people today named Jesus, all right? And that's basically the Spanish Jesus, all right? But you don't find anybody today that names their child, I am. We went to youth camp one year, and we were there, and they were talking to this little boy, and they said, what's your name? He said, Mister. He said, no, I mean, what is your name? He said, that is my name. And that his parents had named him Mr. Well, I'm glad they didn't name me Mrs., all right? But that was his name. But you don't find anybody that'll tell you today, my name is I Am. That is a tremendous identification. What a name that the Lord gives. And he said, why that name? Well, I want to speak to you a little bit this morning on that I Am. That I Am, all right? First of all, I want you to see it speaks of his uniqueness. His uniqueness. He's the only one. The Bible said, I am that I am. An individual, the only one. Look there in John chapter 8. It was that unique quality of that I am that enraged the scribes and Pharisees in John chapter 8. You look down, if you will, to verse 50. In verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Jesus is talking to those religious leaders, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Then here it comes. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And you'll find people today that will tell you Jesus never claimed to be God. He did right there. He did right there. And he did, because notice what happened in verse 59. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. They were going to stone Jesus to death because those Jews recognized he's saying he's God. They recognized that when he said, I am, all right? Christ let them know he was God. A very unique, unique one. I am. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. When you get to Isaiah chapter 45, the Bible tells us some truths, man, that just won't end, all right? In Isaiah chapter 45, look with me, if you will, in verse 5. The Lord speaking here to Isaiah, and he said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Then look at verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now drop down to verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Look at verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Now if that doesn't convince you, look in chapter 46. Chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God. And then he says, and there is none like me. There is none like me. I am that I am. That's the one, the only one, the only one. That name speaks to the uniqueness of our Lord. There's only one. There's only one who's omniscient, who's omnipotent, and who's omnipresent. There are not two. There are not three. There's not five. There's one, and there's only one. There's only one God, and he gave his own name when he said, I am that I am. I want you to notice the uniqueness of God, all right? But not only does that name speak of his uniqueness, but I believe it speaks of his unchanging nature, his absolutely unchanging nature. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 that God does not change. God doesn't change. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Boy, that's him. He does not change. But he said, I am. He's always in what I refer to as the eternal present. The eternal present. He didn't say, I am that I was, or I am that I will be. No, I am that I am. That's right now. Right now. And every other time, okay? Every other time. We get that sense of his permanency. I am that I am. I don't change. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's wonderful to have a God that doesn't change. It is wonderful to have a God that does not change. People change. People change. I mean, our looks change. Our appetites change. Things we enjoy doing change. And my son and I and my nephew, We went last night to a football game over in Arlington, and we drove by Six Flags. And I don't remember, we got talking about it, and I looked at Six Flags. I said, man, I used to really love going to Six Flags. I don't know how many years I took teenagers to Six Flags. I don't know how many times I've been upside down on some dumb ride, all right? But, I went to Six Flags tons of times, enjoyed it. I'd rather take a beating now than go to Six Flags. There's just no appeal at all to me to go into Six Flags, all right? I don't want to go, all right? That I used to enjoy it, enjoyed it. It was fun. Had a good time. And enjoyed being there. If it was hot, it's all right. You go ride one of the water rides, all right, you know. But, now, no, sir. Things you want to do, your life changes. I'm going to tell you something. Your God doesn't change. Your God doesn't change. Boy, he is the great I am. I am. That permanency about him. He's not arbitrary. He's not fickle. He doesn't shift. You can count on him being the same every time you come to him. You can count on that. Hey, what a blessing thing it is to know every time you come to him, he'll receive you. He'll receive you. Doesn't matter how much you've messed up. He'll receive you. Doesn't matter. Boy, you said, well, I've messed things up. It's all right. He'll take you back. I've had people say to me in times past, preacher, I just can't come to church. I've done this or I've done that. I said, man, that's the place people forgive you. If they're right with God, they'll forgive you. And I'm so glad we can come to God, and every time we come to him, he'll take us back. I don't know how many times I've had to come to him after I've sinned. And it was, Lord, here I am again. Here I am again. But he always took me back. What a blessing. He doesn't change. His unchanging nature. But not only his unchanging nature, I believe we also see his unchanging purpose. His unchanging purpose and what it is. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's his purpose. He came to this earth. He became a man. He took upon him the form of a servant so he could go to the cross and pay the sin debt for you and I. And he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose. That's his purpose. Hey, when you go out and take your Bible or you take a tract and you hand it to somebody, you can know when you do that, that our Lord is still interested in saving the soul of every person on this earth. We know that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's me. That's me. He came to call sinners to repentance. I've already said to you about his unchanging nature. He'll always take you back. I'm glad he keeps calling. I'm glad when I sin, I'm glad he still speaks to me and says, hey, I'm still interested in you. I'm still interested in you. I didn't quit on you. I didn't give up on you. I didn't give up. I'm still interested in you. Hey, folks, we read in the scriptures the story of the prodigal son. That story's been rewritten who knows how many hundreds of thousands of times because somebody turned their back and walked away from God. But I believe with all my heart, he keeps calling. He keeps calling them back. Keeps calling back. If you're that prodigal, he's still calling you. Still calling. He still wants you to come back to him. He still wants you to return. He wants you to get out of the hog pen, and he wants you to come back, all right? He's still calling the prodigal to return. You say, well, I've came back so many times. One more won't hurt then, right? You ought to be good at it because you've done it. Well, come back, all right? Come back to him. Boy, his purpose is still there. Unchanged purpose. He's still there to love us. He's still there to lead us in this life. Well, he still wants to do that. He still wants to point the way for you. Sometimes you get a little bit confused. You get a little bit undecided. Maybe the clouds kind of hang low in your life. Maybe you're in a real bad fog. My brother and I one time were in Glacier National Park, one of the most scenic national parks in the world. And man, there's one particular highway there that the scenery is spectacular. Man, you drive through there and there's snow-capped peaks everywhere. Normally, the time of year we were there, that road was closed because of the heavy snow. But one year there was a lighter snow. My brother and I were in that area. We heard that the park was open. We drove on up. We went to Glacier National Park. And we began to climb up that mountain road. And we got up there on that very scenic highway. And we could see absolutely nothing, because it was foggy. Really, we were in the clouds. The clouds had dropped in. And it was like we were in this tunnel. And we could see the edge of the road. And I knew that there was a little wall there. And I knew right over that was a spectacular drop. And over there were beautiful mountains. I'd seen the pictures. But all we could see was a white wall. We drove through it. Then we got down out of that and we went to a park. We went to one of the stores in the park, gift shop. And, you know, we looking around everything. And I asked the clerk there, and I said, how often is it like this? Brilliant, brilliant answer. She said, every time it rains. Well, thank you, ma'am. That was a help. That was a help. Hey, maybe you get in life and you feel like, man, I'm in that fog. And I just can't say, boy, that's when you go to the Lord. That's when you turn to Him, because He's there to lead you. He's there. His purpose has not changed. He'll be there. Hey, it's good to be in the bright sunshine of life and for God to lead you there. But boy, when it gets dark and maybe it gets stormy, you're going through trial in your life, and you're tempted to say, well, Lord, why'd you leave me? He didn't. He's there. He'll still lead you. Hey, His unchanging purpose, that I am, never-changing purpose. But not only that, it also speaks of His unchanging power. Look, if you will, in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, that name, I am, speaks of His unchanging power. That power was on display that night. They came after Jesus Christ to take Him captive and take Him to crucifixion. Look, if you will, John 18, verse 4, all right? They've come. Verse 1, Jesus had crossed over, He and His disciples crossed over the brook Kidron, and they'd come, and Judas had come along, and he was there. And verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon then as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backward and fell to the ground. Why? Oh, the unleashed power of God. The eternal power of God. And by the way, the unchanging power of God. That I am, that I am. All it took was that, all right? All it took was those words to knock that crowd down that came. By the way, had He not let them, they wouldn't have been able to get up either. And all it took was His words out of His mouth. Hey, by the way, when we come back with Him at the second advent, we'll be riding on horses. He's coming to war against the armies of the world, and it's going to be the word of His mouth that causes a destruction. There's not going to be any automatic weapons with us. I don't know what the world's army may have. They may shoot their nukes and all of that. They may have it. But you and I, we won't even be carrying a .45, all right? We'll just be there as witnesses, and the word of God come out of his mouth and slay that crowd. Hey, why? Because of his unchanging power. He is that great I am. Hey, that power hasn't diminished one iota to this day. He's just as mighty. He's just as able today as he was that night. No problem. Just as able, just as mighty, he still has the power to save. I don't care what the lost person has done. I don't care what sin they've committed. He still has the power to save them. I don't care what you might do. He's still got the power to keep you. Keep you. I'm so glad the Bible says that we're kept by the power of God. We believe in eternal security. You said, why? Because what the Bible says. When I came and trusted him as my Savior, I didn't work to earn it. He gave it to me, and I am kept by his power, not by my power. I've said it many, many times when Noah built the ark. God didn't tell Noah, drive 8 spikes into the side and grab a hold and hang on. It's going to be a tough ride. No, he said, you come in. God shut the door, and they're safe inside. Hey, we're safe in him too. We're kept today by the mighty power of God. That great I am. Hey, he's still able to keep, still able to protect. He's still able to provide. He's still able to preserve for his own. He's still able to calm the storm. He stood there with those disciples that night in that boat, and they were worried to death about sinking. They woke him up. They said, Master, save us. We perish. And man, all he did was be not afraid. It is I, said the Master. And he was able to calm the storm. Man, he can shut down the waves. You got a storm in your life, he can calm that storm. He can calm that storm. By the way, sometimes he doesn't calm the storm. He just calms us in the storm. And either way works just as well. He's the great I am. Still has the power to do it. He's still got the power to heal the sick. Hey, when we pray, Lord, we need you to heal. I've been praying, and I know many, many of you have been praying for Hannah Leak. And my prayer is, Lord, would you just heal her? Lord, would you just reach down from heaven and heal her body? The preacher, you think they can? I sure do. I sure do. Does he do it? He does when it's to his will. Yep, he does. Does he do it every time? Nope. Hey, if he healed everybody that every Christian prayed for, nobody'd ever die. We'd all have to go out in a car wreck before anybody could say, Lord, save me, all right? Had to be an instantaneous thing. We'd have to get hit by a piece of steel beam falling on us from the sky, all right? Because we all pray, Lord, don't let him die. I got some. I'll be honest, there's some right now I'm praying, Lord, would you take them? Would you take them? And it's not President Biden, okay? I want you to think that. Not praying that way at all. But I do have some people I'm praying, Lord, would you take them? Would you take them? Hey, God's still in the business. He's able to heal. I'm going to tell you something. One of these days coming, his power is going to raise the dead too. Man, every grave of the saved is going to open up. And those which have died in Christ are going to come forth. What a time. What a time. I thought it'd be wonderful to be in a cemetery when that happened, but it'd probably make you pass out of fright, you know. But man, if you could be there and see that and realize the resurrection, what a time it'll be. Hey, can I say this to you? His power is unchanging. His purpose is unchanging. He is the unique I am God. And I'll tell you, it's still holy ground in his presence. It is still holy ground when you're in his presence. Moses took off his shoes in the presence of the great I am. Took them off. Why? God told him, you're standing on holy ground. That great I am is the great God. He deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. He deserves our time. He deserves it, all right? I mean, he went to the cross for me and you. He died for us. He took the abuse. He took our place. And we can't take time to worship him. Hey, we can't take time to serve him. That follow me and I'll make you fishers of men still a good thing. Still a good thing. He deserves our service. And I just want to ask you, how can you not obey and serve the one that forgave your sin and gave you eternal life? How can you think, nope, nope, don't think so. Hey, he takes care of you here and now. And you say you're too busy to serve him. Oh, you're just too busy. I'm going to say to you, tap into that great power today for salvation. The preacher, I'm saved, then tap into that great power to help you today with your problems and your needs. Go to him. Go to him. Rest in his permanence, knowing he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's going to still do what he's always done. He still do it. He still calls for sinners to come. He still meets our needs. He's still in that business. He's still saving souls. He's still taking the prodigal back. And I'm so glad he's still willing to walk with us and talk with us every day. I'm glad it doesn't require an emergency for us to have to go to him. I'm glad I can go to him and just say, Lord, it's me again. Here I am. Need your help. Good to talk to you. I'm glad I can open this word and he can speak to me. Oh, I'm glad of that. He is the great I am. The great I am. Are you letting his greatness go by the wayside? Are you letting that great I am be the I am for somebody else? Why don't you let him work in your life? Let him help you today. Look, folks, there's nothing too big, but there's nothing too small that he's not concerned about with your life. Nothing. Now, you may think, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, I'm telling you, nothing too big, nothing too small. Remember what the Bible said? If you just give a cup of water in his name, you'll not lose your reward. If he's interested in a cup of water, what else is smaller? All right? He's interested in us. The great I am. The great I am. Are you enjoying his presence in your life? You could be. Well, listen, if you're here this morning and never trusted Christ, would you trust him today? Would you have the courage to step out and walk down the aisle? Meet me right here at the front. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you what the Bible says. What you need to do to be saved. Hey, you're here as a Christian. Maybe you're a prodigal. I don't know. But he's still calling you to come to him. Your life's not what it could be. You said, preacher, I messed up so many times. All right, he'll take you back. He'll forgive you. He's still in that business. His purpose has not changed. You just need to come to him. Would you bow your heads this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, our Heavenly Father? Lord, this morning we come. Lord, I've in my own feeble way tried to testify to the greatness of the great I am. But Lord, we come to you and realize you're the one that's got the answer for us. You're the only one. You're the only one that can save. And Lord, there may be somebody here, you're the only one that can fix the problem they're facing. Lord, would you help us today in invitation time to come to you? Lord, as we stand and sing that invitation, would you help us, Lord, to just have the courage to step out and come and let you deal with us, and we'd pray to you. Meet our need, Lord. Help us to come today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.